Liam is a composite. The blockages, the conversations, the doors that closed are real, and they are closing across Northwest now. This is their story. In one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, NHS mental health wards stand understaffed while training places for new nurses sit deliberately empty. The people who want to train exist, the facilities exist, the desperate need exists, but the Treasury has decided these resources cannot be connected.
I grew up in Eccles thinking I'd follow my dad into plumbing. Left school at 16, learned the trade, decent money, steady work. Then mum had her stroke when I was 22 and everything changed. Months of hospital visits, sitting in those corridors, watching the wards. You see things when you're there every day that visitors miss. The way one psychiatric nurse could calm someone having a breakdown just by sitting with them for 10 minutes. How another could spot when someone was struggling before they even said a word. These weren't superhuman skills. They were trained skills. And there weren't nearly enough people who had them. That's when I knew I wanted to be one of those nurses. Not because I thought I'd save the world, but because I'd seen what difference it made when someone knew what they were doing. Mental health nursing felt like something I could actually contribute to. I did my access course at Salford City College, worked evenings to pay for it, got excellent grades, applied to University of Salford for their mental health nursing degree in 2022, got accepted, felt like everything was falling into place. Then the letter came. Unfortunately, due to reduced Health Education England commissioning numbers, we are unable to offer you a place at this time. I rang them. The admissions tutor sounded genuinely sorry. Your application was strong, she said, but we've had our training places cut. There's nothing we can do. So I tried Manchester Metropolitan University. Same story. Good grades. Accepted in principle, then withdrawn. Reduced commissioning numbers, they said. There is no funding. That's when I contacted NHS England North West directly. Surely they'd know what was happening. The woman on the phone was helpful enough. She explained it carefully. The Treasury has capped our training budget, she said. There's simply no funding for additional places. I know it's frustrating, but there's nothing we can do. It sounded reasonable. Everyone was being reasonable. The Treasury had limited money. They had to make choices. I accepted it. Tried again in 2023, same response, same reasonable explanation. While I was waiting, I started volunteering at Salford Royal Foundation Trust's mental health unit. Figured I'd gain some experience, make myself a stronger candidate for next time. That's where I met Kamal from Burnley. Same story as mine. Access course, excellent grades, accepted, then rejected. He'd been trying for 3 years. The charge nurse, Sarah, was brilliant with the patients, but always looked exhausted. One evening, after a particularly difficult shift, I asked her about staffing levels. She didn't hold back. We desperately need staff, she said. I've got nurses doing double shifts because we can't fill the rotas. But every time we ask for funding approval for more training places, we get the same answer. No budget. Then something didn't add up. I was at the university one day, dropping off some paperwork, and I got lost. Ended up on the wrong floor of the nursing building. Two entire floors of empty simulation labs and lecture halls. Brand new equipment, still in boxes. Mannequins for practicing procedures, computer terminals, the lot. Just sitting there. I found a lecturer in the corridor and asked about it. She looked around, made sure no one was listening. We've got capacity for 200 more student nurses, she said quietly. But we're only allowed to take 80 due to funding restrictions. Those labs, we built them 3 years ago. Half of them have never been used. That's when I stopped accepting the reasonable explanations. If the people exist, and the buildings exist, and the equipment exists, and the desperate need exists, what exactly is it that there is no money for? The government that issues the pound chose not to spend the pounds that would connect me to that training, that would connect Kamal to that training, that would put nurses on Sarah's ward. It wasn't an accounting problem. It was a political decision dressed as an accounting problem. I used to think no funding meant there genuinely wasn't enough money to go around, like a household that spent its wages and has to wait until next month. But the government isn't an household. It doesn't wait for wages. It creates the money when it spends. The real question was never whether enough pounds existed. It was whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the facilities were available. They were. All of them. I'm still volunteering on the ward. Still watching Sarah work double shifts because the Treasury decided training me wasn't worth the money they create when they spend it. I understand now what I didn't understand at the start. The excuse wasn't a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. When someone says there is no funding for nurse training, they're not describing a natural law. They're describing a decision made by people who had alternatives. The same people who found the money for bank bailouts told me they couldn't find the money to train healthcare workers. The same Treasury that creates billions with a few keystrokes told universities there wasn't enough money to use their empty classrooms. This isn't just my story. Walk through any constituency where people want to work and places need workers, and you'll find the same reasonable explanations. The same concerned voices telling you there's simply no money. The same empty buildings where the training could happen. The same people in Westminster saying the cupboard is bare while they decide what to fill it with.
What Liam experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique works by citing authorities who treat the household budget analogy as though it were economic law when it's actually economic nonsense. Think of how tobacco companies used to cite independent scientists who insisted smoking was harmless. The scientists had credentials, published papers, spoke at conferences, but they were working from a false premise that served their funders' interest. In Liam's case, whenever he questioned the funding restrictions, officials cited unnamed economists who supposedly proved the government couldn't spend more without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The Treasury presents its spending caps as though they followed scientific law rather than ideological choice. Every time NHS England told Liam there was no funding, they were treating a household budget analogy as economic fact. The government that issues pounds cannot run out of pounds any more than a football referee can run out of points to award. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Salford ranks 73 out of 543 English constituencies in the deprivation index and falls in decile 2, making it one of the most deprived areas in England. English Indices of Deprivation 2025, MHCLG. The constituency has 929 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, England and Wales, and received £18.6 million in total grants, 360 giving grant nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.